Today is January 3rd, 2016. Okay, at least I have that right. It's Sunday afternoon, and it's been a difficult weekend for us with the terrorism on Friday. And today there were a number of terrorist acts. And God should bless our police, and they should solve all problems. Be'ezrat Hashem. Also, the indictments were handed down today with these, it's so sad. And Aaron Rakefet says again and again, no one is more right-wing than Aaron Rakefet. But you have to work within the system. You can't overthrow it. They have a plan to abolish the system and appoint the king and bring back all the halacha, the hilchot malachim, and anyone that's moreg b'malchot, execute him. I don't know whether that's feasible, plain and simple. I don't know whether it's desirable at this moment in time. Leave something for Mashiach, said Kainu. But it's very sad if these indictments are later held up in court and they're found guilty. Many of them are going to spend many, many decades in jail. Lo aleinu, innocent children, but you have to raise properly and hope the youngsters will understand. I grew up in the lap of Meir Kahana. Some of you know that. You've read my seventh book. I trust you read my review on the first volume on Meir's life. I'm now promised, Libby promised this widow, I'll do a review on the new volume that came out. But I have to tell you, as much as Meir raises all the problems and articulates it correctly, but not always were his solutions correct. And you have to bear that in mind. And again, I state for the thousandth time, you can't teach hatred. A human being is a human being. And unless he lifts up a rock to throw at you, you have to give him the cover of the human being. And you see that murderer Friday evidently killed a taxi driver who was Arab. And they say, my daughter told me something amazing, that the taxi driver killed is related to the street Bedouin children who were asphyxiated, on Shabbos with the heater. That's an old problem when these old-time kerosene heaters get, or gas, whatever they use, it's sakonat nefashat. You're much better off today using electricity, and they came out with a new development, the ceramic heater. My wife and I bought two of them, and it's like heaven. I can't tell you how good it is, and it doesn't... not now. They don't get hot. A kid can touch it. It's no problem. It's not hot. I can't believe it. It's sophisticated. Okay, a few comments on previous shiurim. Then I have to do bookkeeping. Then we can get to the shiur. In my dialogue with Yomo on learning Torah at night, so I got a beautiful email from my Talmud, Rabbi Yeshua Grunstein, who was Menachem Avel when Rabbi Aaron Zeicher Tzadik Livracha died, and he told the Lichtenstein children that he learned from their father, who was his Rebbe, that he learned you always have to teach, you can't waste a minute, and that Rabbi Aaron was famous. He would go to America, and on his way to America would give his shiur in the kollel here that he had to give that week, and when he came back, he'd get off the plane and come into the kollel and give the shiur that he had to give that week. I can tell you, I cannot do it. If I get off the plane, I have to collapse. It doesn't work that way for me. So Yeshua said he acts like his Rebbe Rabbi Aaron. And when he travels quite a bit because he's placing rabbis, whatever class he has to teach, he can get off the plane and go teach the class. So the Lichtenstein boys told him that this was exactly his father's pshat, their father's pshat in the Rambam we were speaking about, in Hilchot Talmud Torah, Perikimel, right at the end, where the Rambam talks about the greatness of Torah, and Rabbi Aaron also interpreted that, what does nighttime mean? Difficulty. And even if it's difficult, you have to make the effort to learn Torah. So we have Rabbi Aaron, maybe he heard it from the Rav. He doesn't quote the Rav, but what I quoted to you, I heard from the Rav. So I thank Rabbi Yeshua Grinstein. Also, if you go back to my Hanukkah drasha, where I quoted the Rebbe, that thank God the Maccabim were not Litvakim, they were Hasidim. If you recall my drasha, So Rabbi Yeshua writes to me that Reb Simcha Bunim, the Mephishtah, he quotes a source called Mavasa Chelek Aleph Shmot that he says exactly the same word. that even if you think you can exempt yourself from a mitzvah, whatever the reason is, that it's onus rachmana patre, it can't be done, it's impossible, the oil is not available, but if you're a real good Jew, then do it with your heart and soul, and ein shum davar sheba'olam omeid kenegdo. And when you do it with your heart and soul, nothing in the world will interfere with that mitzvah being accomplished. And that's the same vote with the Maccabim, mitzvah habaliyat chal tachmit sana. Now, a credit for the class. I'm sorry to interrupt with mundane matters, but Sherry bothered me. So let's check if your name is on here. Now, Jason Allen, I haven't seen it. Does he come to this class? I see him on the Monday class occasionally. Who knows Jason? Do me a favor, Shaya, talk with him and ask him if he needs credit, what the story is. Danny Kaplan, Natan Cohn, Alex Glassman, Yevgeny Gachman, who the heck is that? Gachman, Yevgeny, oh my gosh. Yomo, Rafi Klein. Rafi, your name should be Grois already. What are we doing with
this
claim?
This is Reb Menashe Klein's class.
Class Reb Menashe Klein. Got it. I like that answer. Okay, Alexander Rachamim. What name do I know you by?
Avraham.
Alexander. Mark Schwartz. John L. Zimmerman. Is there any?
They still have me living in Chicago. I just managed to change my address.
Okay. Is there anyone else who needs credit who's not on the list? Okay. If anyone else, tell them to speak with me. We have to see what the story is. Okay. Now down to work. A very fascinating shiur today. I just want to state, please don't think that I agree. Someone said it in this class 2 weeks ago, and he walked out thinking I'm a fanatic of a fanatic. We're dealing with Reb Menashe Klein, with his world, and trying to understand his world, and trying to see his interaction with the rest of the Torah world. It's not Aaron Rakefet's thinking. My thinking is not important. Reb Menashe Klein is much more important. All right, maybe I'm slightly important, okay? You, Sam will go low level. But this is not the way I would paskin lahalacha. I don't want anyone to think this is the Psakim of Aaron Rakefet, the Talmud of the Rav. Okay. A Talmud of Reb Moshe and Psak, absolutely. A Talmud of Reb Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. A Talmud of Reb Ovadia Yosef. These are all people I spoke and learning with and came up with some Psakim that Baruch Hashem were well accepted. Okay. Now, we spoke about last week about the women and whether you can open a school for girls. That was 2 weeks ago. Then we spoke about in great length about the Mechitza and very interesting correspondence between the heart of the Mizrahi movement and Reb Menashe Klein, who I don't believe is even a good at Yisrael. Even that is not frum enough for him. And Reb Menashe Klein has to deal with this minion in a moshav where the Mechitza is swinging in the wind. And you get involved with the steer in the Rambam, and why do we... What is the purpose of Mechitza? Is it they shouldn't see each other or they shouldn't intermingle? And obviously, if they shouldn't intermingle, then if the Mechitza is blowing in the wind, that is not good. You need Alex. Alex, take your seat. Welcome back. You need demarcation. But if it's a question they shouldn't see each other, then the Mechitza can blow from today to tomorrow as long as they don't see each other. So obviously, the people in the Moshav, and these are one of the problems in Israel, why we don't have rabbis in every shul, because if I look around my shul, we do have a rabbi, but he plays no role whatsoever. I don't know, some of the olim from France wanted a rabbi. He's a nice guy, but the shul has rabbonim, lamdonim, and professors one after another. Each minyan you have there people who are bucking shas and paiskim. I can still remember when I came in Aliyah and started davening in Ol Rivka 47 years ago. So I yet knew the Rav, Rav Baruch Yitzchak Levine. He was a Litvish Talmud Chacham, a Chaver, Rav David Lifshitz. And there was a fellow in the shul, Rav Yitzchak Tzvi Ettinger, who was the founder of the neighborhood where I live, Kiryat Shmua, which today is part of Rechavia. He built the first house there in 1929. He came with guns. The Arabs shot at him. He shot at them, killed a few. And they never bothered him again. I later told him of his grandchildren. It's a well-known family, Ettinger. I'm related today by marriage. My latest granddaughter-in-law is an Ettinger on her mother's side. So this Yitzchak Tzvi Ettinger, who made a living off him, is a milkman. He used to go, you don't remember this in Israel, maybe in Russia. Do you remember when they went from door to door with a donkey, with milk, with a big thing of milk, and you gave him bottles and he filled them, or you gave him pitchers? Did you remember that in Russia? Or am I daydreaming? Did you see that in Russia growing up? That you couldn't buy bottles of milk. There'd be someone coming from door to door with a big can of milk, and you brought a pitcher over and he emptied into it. He pulled out the spigot, the oven. You were more advanced. Anyway, that's how he made a living. And this Jew was Bucky in Shas, gave a shiur, was unbelievable. And every Shabbos, at the first minyan, where both he and the rabbi davened, and yours truly was a spectator, 6:30, they fought like cats and dogs. I cannot repeat what they called each other in public. So you see, it's very hard in Israel to have rabbanim when you have so many lamdanim in the audience. So in the Moshav, they claimed, listen, the Rambam says, Shelo yistaklu, a mechitza blowing in the wind is sufficient. It all came to a bidyavad shaila, which might have very well been in Yeshivat Flatbush, where the class is over, and the boys and girls want to daven mincha, and what do you do for a mechitza? And this is a serious problem. And what they had there was a little mechitza, ten tefachim. Someone told me after class that I think in Ramaz, or in Flatbush today, or in Frisch, when they daven mincha, they take one desk and turn over another desk on top of it. And that's the way they make a mechitza. So, all right, an interesting question. Is that a good mechitza? It's demarcation, but they certainly can see each other. Anyway, b'diyeved Rav Henkin Paskin, the Rebbe could daven there, and Rav Klein was not happy. He said, with all due respects to your great-grandfather, that I'm nothing compared to him, but I wouldn't be mater them to daven. Okay, now we're moving further, and we're coming into a very interesting world, which also explain current events to you. A number of years, I'll begin with this past Shabbos. This past Shabbos, it was my children. We were together with some of the family, and my grandchildren and great-granddaughter, who live in the Petach Tikva, for Chanukah, the Yiriyah brought in Avraham Fried. And the kids told me it just was fantastic, the concert. New Avraham Fried has been accused of many things over the years. He sings Boys and Girls Are Together, Men and Women Are Together. How can you, we'll see, are you allowed to sing? And Avraham Fried always gives one answer. He says, no one can have complaint to me or against me. He says, I'm a Chabadnik. And with that answer, everyone is quiet. No one will say boo to him. He is a Chabadnik, no care of singing. Chabad is Chabad. No, Yomo, relax yourself. He appears in Hebron. Don't ever criticize Avraham Fried. He's a great, great Jew. But in New York, they started, Besaidi said he's a Chabadnik and it's outreach. And no one can have a taina to me. And believe me, with the Chabad Shluchim all over the world, on the university campuses, etc., etc., I guarantee you that not always can they do what the Rebbe would like, lachatchila. You have to deal, you know, with who you're trying to attract, the world in which they live. Now, and this is a very serious question here. But what I want to say is, by introducing this question, I live in Israel, and you know, America in the last 47 years, I'm soon celebrate 50 years here, Be'ezrat Hashem, it's a big achievement. And 50 years, Alat Mata Kodesh, they're soon celebrating the Bells of Rebbe, became Rebbe in 1966. This year is 50 years, they're going to have the biggest bell celebration in history, filling a stadium, Hasidim coming in from all over the world. Maybe my wife has an anical, I'll have to go to the bell celebration. So in America, you have, when I was growing up, there were, Michael may remember this, there were no real songs. We would have an assembly on Thursday and we would sing Baruch Elokeinu Shebranu Lechvodai, Baruch Elokeinu Shebranu Lechvodai. By the time we finished, everyone would be asleep. There's a Then Shlomo Lakaba came on the scene. And then the Majestat, Ben Sion Shenka. You have no idea the impact Reb Shlomo had, and the Majestat Nikunim and Ben Sion Shenka. He should live and be well. He's in his 90s, a genius in musical composition. And you know how he got involved. He had a good voice. And he was a Yingel in Teira Vadas. And the Majestat Rebbe, running away from Hitler, came to America about 1939. And he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. They were big, big closet Zionists, I'll use that expression. They, you know, a Jew loves Eretz Yisrael, but they couldn't go. It was World War II. So he was in Brooklyn till about, I believe, 46 or 47 for sure. He went to Eretz Yisrael and opened the Majestat Shtibel in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv then had more Rebbeim than Yerushalayim. It's an amazing thing. The Belzer Rebbe was in Tel Aviv. The Majestat Rebbe was in Tel Aviv. The Sadigara Rebbe, the Ruzhina Rebbe. An amazing thing about Tel Aviv at that time. And while he was in America, so this kid, Ben Sion Shenker, attached himself to the Majestat. He found someone he looked up to. You know, when you teach a high school age, a kid is seeking. And I know, I told you more than once, I have lasting relationships with kids I taught in the 1960s. It's an amazing thing. Kids I taught in 62, I'm still intimate Rebbe Talmud relationship with them. So he became very close to the Majestat Rebbe, and the rest is history. So America starts to change, and you have Nikunim and CDs, records, tapes, CDs, the world, concerts. Cholamoid, big concerts. And a number of years ago, and again, I don't know these people, I don't know the names, I'm living here, I think the name was Shveki, if you can correct me if I'm wrong. And they had this concert planned for Brooklyn, Cholamoid, and separate seating. Don't get upset, Yomo. Separate seating. And a sellout. They rented a big auditorium or rented an arena, I don't know. And money changed hands with dealing with hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the Rabbanim came out with an Iser. And Shveki and the organizers had to break all the contracts, lost a fortune of money. You see, Avram Fried could have gotten away with it because he could have said, "I'm a Chabadnik. I'm not obligated to follow these Litvakians, these Ungarische, these Hungarians." But he couldn't get away with it, Shveki. And I remember reading here. You know, it's a very small world today. The press picked it up, and Yediyat Achrona, Haaretz, which hates Torah and Zionism with a passion. Oh, they had a field day. One, they failed Messiah. He was dancing on the ceiling. They broke contracts. They lost money. What kind of rabbis are these, etc.?
What was the issue?
They felt it was becoming an Aveda Zara. That such a crowd and everyone going crazy. And they, you know, like, these are your Gedolim cards. Shveki, Avram Fried, Mordechai Vertica. What's going on with you? This is like taking the place of the Gedolim Khans, etc. Now, this is a very serious question. Are you allowed to have concerts? First of all, you can have concerts. Mixed seating. How do you view it? We're going to be on this topic for a long, long time. I can ask you very differently. I'm speaking in more than three different locations, but in three different communities, giving 10 different talks, some in halakha, some in hashkafa, some contemporary, some history, whatever they ask for. So I'm speaking in three different areas in Florida. So what if they ask me, Rebbe, are you makpid on separate seating? It's an interesting question. What do you answer? And by the way, I would prefer separate seating, but I will never say I'm makpid. I'll always answer whatever the nohag is in your synagogue, because I don't want to come in. I'm a guest, and I always live with the principle that I was taught many, many generations ago, a gast schmeit nicht auf den Tisch. A guest doesn't spit on the table. And I never want to cause problems. If I'm living there, then I'm entitled to an opinion. But if I'm coming in for five little lectures or four little lectures, and then I'm going back to Yerushalayim HaKodesh, I don't want to upset the apple cart. But this is a very interesting question. All right, now let's say, no, there is separate. It's Borough Park, and in Borough Park they're not going to have mixed seating. In Flatbush perhaps today they're not going to have mixed seating. Many young Israels perhaps will have concerts without mixed seating, I would imagine. Although, you know, again, I have to be honest that the world was not like this 50, 60, 70 years ago. I can tell you there's a very big Talmud Chacham that you all know, someone I love. I don't want to mention a name. And his, you know how his parents met? They met at a dance in the Young Israel one Saturday night. And if you're familiar with Reichel's book about his grandfather, Rabbi Herbert S. Goldstein, the maverick rabbi, so Aaron Reichel, to write about Rabbi Herbert S. Goldstein is no problem, a very fascinating individual. I knew him very well, and he quotes me in the book, and I've often quoted the book, and it's a fascinating book, but he has one tremendous problem, that his grandfather, who was a tzaddik and was the frumist, he was called the chassid of all the rabbonim here, Rabbi Luchstein, Rabbi Young, no one equaled the tzidkut of Rabbi Herbert S. Goldstein. And there were dances in the West Side Institutional Synagogue. So you see, it was a different America then, and you have to be attuned to it, and I'll come back to it. But now, Baruch Hashem, you're going to have a concert with chazanim and entertainers and have separate seating. Can you have the concert? This is a serious issue. Okay. Very fascinating tshuva. Chelik Zayin of the Mishnah Halachot, Siman Mem Bet. And he's writing to a student, Shmuel Yitzchok Morgenstern, Talmud Yeshivatenu HaKadosha. And this tshuva is being written 1975. So place it into context. Morgenstern might very well be an einikel of the Kotzker Rebbe. Whenever you meet a Morgenstern, the chances are, I've met already a number of Morgensterns, and every last one was a Kotzker Rebbe's, a grandson. Natan, what's up? My voice, I suffer. Someone talks, I can't talk over their voice. It's psychological, but it's real. So the Talmud asked Rav Menashe Klein, the Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva, he says, can you go to a concert? And he writes here, Leilech le concert belaz. He's using, and by the way, in Sheraton Shuvit, this is always a problem. They always use vernacular words. We have a problem with Shuvat Rishonim that occasionally they use words, Marufia, for instance, which we, until today, we don't know for sure what the word means. And there are other examples, because we don't speak that language. Shiva was written 1,000 years ago. Reb Moshe uses the word kar. Who knows if 1,000 years from now people know what Reb Moshe is talking about. If you write in Hebrew, it's mechonit. But Reb Moshe was writing when before the Hebrew word was well known. In other words, mechonit is a recent invention. I remember at the 25th Yahrzeit of Rabbi Revel, one of his top Talmidim from the first smicha class of the yeshiva, new, can anyone tell me when was the first smicha class? 1917, Salbi Friedman. Five fellas got smicha, and the most famous was Salbi Friedman because he was American born. And this made a big impression, an American born youngster, I believe from Pittsburgh. And he's getting smicha, Talmud Chacham, reads, oh, what an achievement. At the 25th Yahrzeit of Rabbi Revel, 1965, So they were maspid, Rabbi Revel in the Beis Medrash, and Rabbi Saul B. Friedman spoke, and he's speaking Yiddish, he told the story, and they had to go someplace, and they geschickt a mishinka. Oh boy, all the Americans like me who knew a little Yiddish, we don't know what the heck he's talking about. A mishinka means a machine. That's the word they use for a car. You follow? So you have to be attuned. So here he throws in the word, I love it, he throws in the word concert, and then he describes it, that they have all types of instruments, they're playing, and they're reciting and singing Sukkot Tehillim and songs, and all these songs, so he says, are Frumkeit songs. These are all songs that deal with Torah. And all the musicians are Shomrei Torah. I have a grandson plays the saxophone. All right? These are all Shomrei Torah. And these are not songs that they're singing just to make fun of the world. But what they're doing is pleasure. Pleasure. They're doing it. They want to have a little tonic. He uses the word pleasure belaz. By the way, Rabbi Menashe Klein spoke a good English. I saw him on YouTube, and he speaks a good English. He came to America young enough to pick up English very nicely, and he's a very bright individual. But they're sitting men and women together. Is this mutter or rasa, the Talmud asks. And if it's not mutter, what about when men and women sit together? And this is the question that Rabbi Menashe Klein receives. Now, let me say in parentheses. Question also has to be understood in context of contemporary society. In our society, it's perfectly natural for men and women to intermingle. This is why they wanted to take the Mechitza down 100 years ago. The battles we fought, what went on with conservative Judaism, because men and women intermingle. Now, you know, I've spoken about this a lot. It's not the time now. A lot of intelligent people agree with me that at a time of prayer, your mind has to be able to concentrate and stand before God. We don't want sexual tension in the air. But nevertheless, when we walk out of the shul, except if you live in Square Town or whatever they call it today, New Square, men and women walk the same streets. You go into Mea Shearim, there are bakeries there, and I saw this with my own eyes. You see signs, Mena, Freuen, men should buy here, pay here, women should buy here and pay here. And I saw where the men are buying, a woman is selling, and where the women are buying, a man is selling. A man is taking the money. So you see, we intermingle very naturally. Even in the award-winning play, Shtisel, which has received so many compliments, and the Haredim as well, the Haredim who are, you know, more open, speak about it as a true portrait and understanding of Haredi life. And even there you see that men and women intermingle to quite a great deal. You see the Talmud Torah, the Cheda, the woman running it is a woman, it's not a man. And she's the power behind the throne. When all is said and done, she is the organizer, the power. And you see it time and time again. So it's very natural for us when you go to a concert. Then there's another factor. And this too is more for me a real problem. That families don't want to separate. You know, if you have two boys and two girls, then it's very easy to separate. Two girls go with the mother, two boys with the father. But you can't plan families, at least not yet. What if you have four daughters, five daughters, and one little son at the end? I have children with five sons. I have children with five sons and one daughter. I have children, et cetera, et cetera. You can't. I only had daughters. So it's very, very hard to separate. And then I have to say, as being part, and I don't say this is anything to do with an example to follow, but as someone raised in modern society, when I do go out, I want to sit next to my wife. I mean, I don't let my wife always complains. You're always in motion. You're always learning. You're always writing. You're always doing. You're always thinking. You're always planning. You don't know how much I have up ahead of me this coming term beyond all that I'm planning to teach Be'ezrat Hashem. So if I finally do go out, I want to sit next to my wife. It's like I don't like weddings where the men and women sit separately. I don't like to sit with 10 men and talk Lashon Hara. I'd rather sit with my wife and at least be mekayem the mitzvah of the samachta, of treating your wife properly. So if I'm going to go to a concert, my natural desire is to sit next to my wife. So it's an interesting question. And you have to understand the world where Reb Menashe is coming from. Sam, I guarantee you it's not the world you're coming from. You understand? Where did you go to elementary school?
Yavne Academy.
Yavne. Oh, you didn't go to Rambaz. Yavne already is... who's that? That's Rabbi Hagler?
No, Rabbi Knapp.
Rabbi Knapp. Where is Yavne Academy? In
Paramus.
In Paramus. Uh-huh. Okay. And it's separate, boys and girls?
No, together.
Mixed? Oh, so then you really have the problems. Okay, so you're certainly never going to be separate at a concert. Anyway, Reb Menashe Klein does not waste words. He says, "Lefi anivitati," there's not even a question here. It is simple. Both instances are forbidden. Any concert, whether it's men and women separate or men and women together, absolutely forbidden. And he quotes the Gemara, and everyone who deals with this topic has to quote the Gemara. It's the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Nun Aleph, the sugya we refer to. And in that sugya, when you look it up, you'll see there's a pasuk in Zechariah, Perik Yud Bet, Pasuk Yud Bet, Zechariah Yud Bet, Yud Bet. And there, v'safta ha'aretz mishpachot mishpachot levad, mishpachot beit David unishreihem levad. And there it's talking about tragedy and defeat and karbonot and the Jews are mourning. And it speaks in terms of we mourn separately. Chazal interpret that pasuk, men and women separate. Now, you might want to say mishpachot mishpachot levad in the sense that it's families are separate, which also shows you're keeping them separate, you don't want intermingling, but Chazal interpreted even more strongly men and women separate. I want to say in brackets now something very interesting. Agudat Yisrael of America begins in America basically after World War II. I know that technically there was Agudah organized in the early 20s. I lectured about this. It's not important now. And that fell apart. No one in America was an Agudist. There was one Rav in Omaha, Nebraska, Rabbi Grzynski, a cousin of Rav Chaim Isa. He was probably the only Rav in America who openly identified with Agudat Yisrael. Then in 1937, Reb Lezer Silva goes to Europe as the American representative to the last Knesia Gedola before World War II. And Reb Chaim Meiser says to his Talmud, Reb Lezer, Ichalt, I feel it's the time has come, you should organize Agudat Yisrael in America. And he starts organizing it, and Rabbi Soloveitchik, my Rebbe, helps him. But after World War II, when you get the influx of all the DP people and their children and the yeshiva and the Rosh Yeshiva from Europe and some of the Rebbeim, not Lubavitch, but some of the other Rebbeim, Agudat Yisrael goes on the map. Now, originally, everything at Agudat Yisrael was mixed, but as the Hungarians and the Hasidim come in, they demand separation. And you should know, Agudat Yisrael has that problem until today. They have tremendous conventions. What are their conventions around Thanksgiving Day, if I'm correct, Thanksgiving time? Because I know the OU conventions, I think, are scheduled later around the Lo Aleinu Christmas time, so they don't conflict with Agudat Yisrael. And Agudat Yisrael, what do? How do you arrange the seating at meals? If you're a Ger Chassid, you know that Friday night, and this is Rakefet, I've said this many times publicly, and people until today hug me and kiss me. I say the question of separate seating at a wedding depends upon how you eat in your own house. And I say, if I'm a Gera Chassid, I know that there's going to be separate seating, because Friday night in the Gera home, the men are in one room, the women are in another room. That's a Gera Chassidim. But the Chofetz Chaim insisted on eating next to his wife Friday night, like the Mishnah in Ketuvot. So what does Agudat Yisrael do? You have these people, what do you... So you should know, when you sign up for the convention, you have a choice of seating. It's either separate or family seating. And the word family, they get from this pasuk in Zechariahu, mishpachot, mishpachot. So even if the families were separate, but at least the men and the women in the family interacted, okay? And that's how they solved their problem. And you got to give Agudat Yisrael in America credit. They have maintained a semblance of organization and achdut v'yasu kolom aguda achat, not like Agudat Yisrael in Israel, which is the exact opposite of unity, of achdut. And a lot of the credit goes to Reb Moshe Shera. I trust you've heard the name, and I don't have time now to talk about him, but he was a legendary, very important figure, and happened to be a good friend of a guy named Aaron Nakefet. Now, this pasuk, what is it talking about? And this is the Gemara, and every Rishon and every Achron, when they refer back to the Gemara is talking about a time of mourning, a funeral. Tell me, at a funeral, you fellas have been to funerals. Lo aleinu, in Israel, kids go to funerals already at a very young age. I don't have to tell you what we go through here with our grandchildren and the army. So you go to a funeral. Larry, I want to know if at a funeral, your mind is on, I don't want to say in front of Sue, I want to know if at a funeral, your mind is on the fairer sex. You go to a funeral, you're mourning, you're shocked, you're blown away, it's terrible. The last thing in the world, you want to be a sexual predator. And yet the Gemara says they sat separately at the funeral. You follow me, Sam? So from that Gemara, and the Gemara says it, Alachat kama v'kama, when we have a joyous event, when a person is high, when a person already is drinking and he's jumping around and his human instincts are coming to the fore, Alachat kama v'kama, we need separate seating, separate audiences, Gerech Siddim, separate rooms. Okay? That's the first thought. We're dealing with Reb Menashe Klein, and I made clear after the start of the Shia that Kasson sat in 2 weeks ago, a very prominent family, and he walked away thinking that I'm talking about my own Psakim. I'm talking about Reb Menashe Klein. But I want to understand them. We're now trying to understand why the concert that Shveke was supposed to give, why they canceled it, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars went down the drain. And Israel Ben Asher Klein gets the question, can you have concerts of Shirei Kodesh? We're not talking now the Beatles. And separate seating, mixed seating, both of them, absolutely not. And this source now, Reb Menashe Klein goes one step further. And here I want to introduce you to a source that I've quoted in many different contexts. I'm not here to give all my drushes now, but this is a source. It's based upon the Gemara in Gittin, in the Sukkah, but no one says it as beautifully as the Rambam. I want to ask a question. Tell me, Michael, there was a guy named Aaron Rothkopf. He was in the rabbinate. And he debated with the president of the conservative entire rabbinate, the rabbinic assembly, Teddy Friedman, Theodore Friedman. So I write about this in Washington. I debated, this goes back long before the youngsters here were born, not the guests. Some of the guests were around already. It has to be. I have the exact date in my book.
Not when you were in Philadelphia.
No. This was when I was already building an Orthodox shul, suburban Essex County, and I turned to Teddy Friedman in front of 700-800 people. It was at the Y in Irvington. And you got to remember, Theodore Friedman, a graduate of Yeshivas Reb Yitzchok Hanan, with two other rabbis who all came from a very fine Orthodox background in 1953, wrote the responsum permitting driving to the conservative temple on Shabbat. And he was one of the signatories. So in front of 800 people, I asked him, Rabbi Friedman, do you drive to shul on Shabbos? And he says, of course not. I walk just the way you walk. I say, so why does your synagogue have a parking lot and so many of your congregants drive? You have to be a Catholic rabbi. And he went crazy. And then I explained myself. In the Catholic religion, I grew up in a Catholic neighborhood. Catholic religion, the priest, the nun, the brother have one religion. And the masses have a very minor variation of what the clergy has. You're like a Catholic. That's not a Jew. A Jew, a rabbi, and a congregant are equal. The cowboy and the farmer have to be friends, plain and simple. And the audience went crazy. And then I came home at night. That's the story I tell. I was late at night. I had to give shiur the next day in YU. And my wife says, you're wasting your time. Who do you think you're impressing? And you exhaust yourself. And it's late. And you have to get up early tomorrow, go to yeshiva. And a week later, I got a call. There was a family that was, coming out of Newark and exposed in suburbia to the big reform conservative temples, and they were seeking and searching, and they said, Rabbi, you pushed us over the cliff. You should know that they went in Aliyah, totally Shomer Torah mitzvot. They had many children. There must be hundreds of direct descendants walking the face of Medinat Yisrael today due to that Catholic rabbi remark. Now, so you all agree with me. Alex, you agree with me. The Chassan and the Litvak are in agreement, right? I'm saying it correctly. Gentlemen, there is one part of Judaism that we observe, that we do, where we become Catholics. And it is quoted by the Rambam, and he phrases it in such a distinct, unique fashion. What's going on here? Hilchat Lulav, Perikhet, Halacha Yudalad. And you all know the Rambam describes at the end of Perikhet, Hilchat Lulav, which is really Hilchat Sukkah at this point, that Sukkah is the basis of Simcha. All the joy we have in the tri festivals is a reflection of Simcha. All the concept of Simcha and Pesach and Shavuot is a fallout from Sukkot. And that's why the mitzvah of Simchat Beit HaShoevah is the heart of Sukkot, the greatest achievement, the ultimate joy. And the Rambam Paskins Dalit mitzvah laharbot b'simcha zu. And then he becomes a Catholic. V'lo hayu osin oto ame'aretz v'chom yishayirtzeh ele gedolei chachmei Yisrael v'roshei ha'yeshiva v'asanchedrin v'achsidim v'askenim v'yanshei maisa heim shahayu merakdim u'mesakim u'menagnin u'mesamkim b'mikdash b'mei chag ha'sukot avo kol ha'am anashim v'hanashim kulam ba'ot lirot u'lishmoa. My dear friends, you just had the Rambam describe a perfect concept that is totally alien to the Judaism we were raised in. That you just can't come along. This is not Shabbos or Kashrut. or Tarat Mishpacha, or take any mitzvah, or tzedakah, any other mitzvah. We're all equal. A rabbi, you all know, a rabbi in Judaism is no different than a lay person. Every Gadol b'Yisrael, the Rav, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, they both said the same thing. Every Jew has to be a Rebbe. Every Jew has to outreach. The Rav says that. I have the Rav in quoting from his talk. Given I translated from Yiddish into English. I have it in volume 2 of the Rav. And it's he said, he's talking to rabbis. It's going back 60 years, 56 I believe it was. I have the exact date and exactly the venue. It's all in my book. But the Rav, every Jew's a rabbi, absolutely. What's the difference? All right, a rabbi, or we hope a Rav is more learned than the average Jew. We hope a Rav davens with more kavana than the average Jew. We hope a Rav has more chveis, a ruach about him of total dedication. But basically, we're all the same. And here you have a Rambam. And it's based upon the Gemara and Sukkah, based upon the Mishnah, based upon that whole Sukkah. And a Rambam that the men and women, the children, everyone coming, machashvai, be quiet. Zashtil, sit quiet. Look at the gedolim dancing. This is like a mitzvah dance, right? At a Hasidish wedding. Those of you who saw the big display in the museum 2 years ago on the Hasidic world, Mike, you know what I'm referring to, right? So they had a movie of a mitzvah dance, and it was interesting to see the reactions. If you go to Facebook, you see endless mitzvahs just put up on Facebook. A Bavava Einikel got married. So the Bavava, one of the Bavava Rabbeim, the two of them today, is dancing with his granddaughter. So mitzvah tons, and tens of thousands of Hasidim are standing and clapping and looking. And all I can tell you is, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he said, "Was kuk minona and al demensh v'yichtaven." He didn't like that they stared at him. Although I understand later in life he gave in and they made a little podium, am I right, which he stood on so people could see him. But, you know, davening, we all have to daven. I don't know, I daven, I keep my eyes closed and I davening back and don't want people looking at me, staring at me. That's why you cover your head with a talus and you're davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But whoever heard that you got to watch the Skenim, the Rashi Yeshiva, the members of Sanhedrin, the Hasidim, right? Rav Steinman, and in Israel today, you'd have to be over 90 years of age at least to be able to dance on Simchas Beis HaShoeva, right? All the Gedolim are over 90. The Belzer Rebbe is an exception. He's celebrating 50 years and he's still a kid, basically, compared to Rav Shach, Rav Steinman, Rav Kanievsky, etc., etc. Okay, what a Rambam. So, now, you want me to explain the Rambam to you? I'll just pause for 1 minute, but then I want to come back to what the tshuva we're dealing with. Yes, this is the sugya in Sukkah. This is Simchas Beis HaShoeva. You see, what does Simchas Beis HaShoeva represent? Drawing of the water. Drawing of the water, there's a basic message here that to be a good Jew, you have to be able to see, even in the simple matters of life, holiness, sanctity. Now, this is a challenge. All of us can feel sanctity. I know when I sing it Friday night, I'm overwhelmed. It's still, I've sung it so many centuries already, I'll put it that way. It's overwhelming to me. This is the last addition to the tefillah that every Jew accepted. There isn't a nusach in the world that doesn't have Lecha Dodi. And it's an overwhelming. I still remember after the Six-Day War, the first Friday night afterwards, Migdash Melech, after Wednesday when we came back to Yerushalayim, Migdash Melech Yimalucha. And unfortunately, those words are just as meaningful today. We have to get out of the darkness as it was then. You know what I'm referring to. But it's overwhelming. You don't have to be a gon and a tzaddik to feel it. Shabbos, I read all the time that people are shaymah Shabbos. There was just an article in Yediot Friday about some entertainer, some singer. I don't even, you know, I'm not involved in that part of the Israeli world. But some of my children could answer me, my grandchildren. So they always ask him, what do you do Shabbos? And boy, did he give an answer. He goes to his parents, Kiddush, the works, davening. He says, Shabbos is a day I don't answer the phone, I don't turn on the computer. It's a day off from the mundane, totally holy. So, all right, you can understand that. When we walk into what they opened up in the Tel Aviv, Sarona, every Torah Jew that I've spoken to who was there is just frightened by the sights he saw, the pig in public, the seafood in public. You might as well be in China, you know, don't have to be in Israel. It's a chilul kvod Tel Aviv, a chilul kvod, a city that Bialik lived in, that Acharaam lived in. All right, these are issues that a Jew can feel when you read about menuvolim I don't even want to mouth it if you know what's going on in America with someone I know very well. Menuvel Sheba Menuvolim, the New York Times, today the Daily News had an expose, and one of my daughters called me, she already had more information. No, you can feel this is not Torah, this is not Judaism, this is animal living, this is not, but drawing of water, mundane daily life, to feel sanctity, that you have to be an Otam Gadol. And that's why the masses have to come to see a Rosh Yeshiva, Chassidic Rebbe, a member of Sanhedrin. Ah, they are dancing in the drawing of water. They feel the gift of God to the human being, and specifically to Bnei Yisrael, to Am Yisrael. And that's the pshat in the Gemara, that's the pshat in the Rambam, in my humble opinion. But be it as it may, Rav Menashe Klein quotes this Gemara, and he says, what do we see from here? That these people were going to be inspired. Who are they looking at? Gedolei, Gedolei Yisrael. And nevertheless, you had to keep them separate. That even at a time like that, the Yetzer Hara can be around and it can dance and lead us astray. Very powerful. Very powerful. All right? So far, so good. And he uses the word pleasure again. He says, V'yim came kal v'chomer ben benosho kal v'chomer. That if you're dancing in the Beis HaMikdash and you're watching Gedolei Yisrael and you need separate seating, alachat kama v'kama, when it's not in the Beis HaMikdash and you're just going to have a show for pleasure, uses the word balaz, he warns you again, it's in the secular language, and you want to have a show like that, you certainly need separate seating. Okay. No, come back to the question. Donnie, we're going to have separate seating. Can we have Shvetya? Can we have Avram Free? Can we have, give me another name of, what's the name?
Lipa Schmelzer.
Lipa Schmelzer, yeah, I've seen that name on the Olam Shel Charedim website. That's a website I say if 10% is true, you gotta shut down Torah. You understand? 10%. But I hope it's less than 10% that's true. But how he invents all these stories, all the machloket, wow. I may see him in a week or two's time, the man behind the website. I know him. From my first days in Israel, Alad Matah Kodesh. I knew his father, he had Rehov Shulson, is named after his father. His first wife was my student, Michala, nice lady. All right, but that's ancient history. Now, but it doesn't end here. Here you have another problem, that if you're serious about singing and concerts, and Avraham Fried and all that goes with it, You have a very serious problem. And that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Aleph, Amid Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, Hakore Pasik Shal Shira Shirim, V'yose Oto Kamin Zemer, V'hakode Pasik B'veit Mishta'ot, at a party, below Zmano, and it's not a chag, not a yontif, mevira al olam. He brings evil to the world. Mipnei shehatorah chogeret psak. V'omedet lifnei hakadosh baruch hu, v'omedet lefanav. Ribono shel olam, asuni banecha kikina, shemenagdim bo leitzim. Wow. What is the Gemara saying? Very interesting. Tell me. You go to a nightclub. You've heard about nightclubs? No? Jews have nightclubs. Jews have bars, grills, and Yerushalayim have bars that are glatt kosher, under hashgacha. Is this a Jewish way? Fascinating question. B'nai Akiva, I grew up in B'nai Akiva. My brother, who's, I guess that's why I became a surgeon, why I became a doctor, he's more agile, he danced. There were dancing troops there. There was a Chaver Knesset here, Ravitz, Avram Ravitz, Zeicher Zichrono Livracha, Agudat Yisrael, Degel HaTorah. His wife was a B'nai Akiva from America who danced in the B'nai Akiva troupe. B'nai Akiva performance. All right, I have to say, they didn't. The boys and girls had no physical contact, but they danced. And what did they dance to? Songs from Shir HaShirim. No? Can we allow this? Can we act? We're singing Shir HaShirim. We're not singing I'm a Yellow Submarine. Still, it's the way a Jew acts. And here, let me give you a gift for coming. I'll tell you in parentheses a little true story. Then we'll close the parentheses and go back to the serious material. But I have guests here from Toronto, and I want to honor them. It's a true story. My neighbors, we've been door-to-door for 47 years now. I was just there minutes ago, give her the key to taking the mail while I'm gone. And Chaim Zichrono Livracha, is a grandson of Rabbi Chaim Yosef Zonnefeld, for whom he's named. I was still at Chaim's mother's funeral. She was the last surviving child of Rabbi Chaim Yosef Zonnefeld. All right, this is quite a family. Chaim was a chevreman par excellence. He is a freedman, and they had a big etrog business. They still do until today, the freedmen. They have their own orchards. And he would go to America and bring etrogim over and sell them, you know, distribute them to the stores and then collect the money. He didn't get back till Hanukkah time. He would leave well before Sukkot, and then he would get back Hanukkah time with the money collected for the family. It was a major industry. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, by the time Orthodoxy grew in the East Coast. So Chaim was a chevreman. He had cousins who were Rebbe Shekinder. Their father was a Rebbe in Brooklyn. And he tells me the story, and he says to me, he swears the story, every word he's telling me is true, that he wanted to show his cousin, who was, I think, a Torah Badas boy, and, you know, very insular, very isolated. And he decided to show this kid New York at night. And he takes him, among other things, he winds up in a nightclub where Chaim knew the owner, was a Jewish guy. And he winds up in this nightclub, and they get home about 3 o'clock in the morning, and the Rebbetzin is pale with worry. Who is my Yingel? Where is my son? And they walk in, and he tells his mother, "Oy, vasicha bi," I'm saying it, I'm living it. I have to say it in English, I guess, but it's hard for me in English. He says, "Oh, where I was tonight, And Mama was Vasichav good, learned what I learned tonight. And his mother looks at him at nightclub, and she had a vague idea what it is. He says, Mivesnish divait a Yiddish in the Shambhagate. You don't know how you can find the pintle yid, that a Yiddish in the Shamba, no matter how it's covered up, ultimately it comes to the surface. So his mother looks at him, Vas Menken, what do you mean? And he tells his mother that there were no lights at every table. There were candles. So he asked his cousin, Chaim, why is there no light? And Chaim tells him, the Balabayas has Yotzai tonight. And he not only lights one candle, but he wants everyone in his nightclub to know that it's Yotzai for his mother. And this kid came home, Azei Vaita Yiddish in the Shema. All right, that's Chaim. That's can we live like this? Can we do like this? What are we talking about here? Let me read the English translation. I always like to compare Schottenstein with the way I understand the Gemara. But here it's right on. The rabbis taught me Baraita. One who recites a verse of the Song of Songs and renders it a kind of song by singing it with a common melody. And he who recites a scriptural verse in a banquet hall at an inappropriate time brings misfortune to the world. For then the Toradam sackcloth stands before the Holy One, blessed is he, and says, Master of the universe, your children have treated me like a flute, like a lute upon which scoffers play. God says to the Torah in reply, my daughter, while they eat and drink, what should they occupy themselves with? And the Torah says before God, if they are students of scriptures, let them engage in the study of Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. If they are students of Mishnah, let them learn Halacha and Agadot. If they know how to learn Talmud, let them learn the laws of Pesach before Pesach, the laws of Atzeret, meaning Shvuot before Shvuot, and the laws of Sukkot on Sukkot. A very, very powerful Gemara. No? Hold on 1 second. Does this remind you of anything? What other stories do you hear of the Litvish Yeshiva? The stories I grew up with, Gris, Mir, students eating, spoken learning the whole time. Didn't waste a minute. You went for a walk to feel better, to exercise, you go with the chavruta, they spoke and learning the whole time. It's exactly this Gemara. But what a powerful Gemara. So what do you see from here? The whole concept of a concert is alien to us. Now you can start to understand why the Gedolim in Brooklyn came down on this poor artist who had rented a hall, his handlers, whatever you want to call them, his agents. Thousands of tickets were sold, and they were worried. They have more respect for him than we have for Gedolei Yisrael. What did you want to ask, Kitty?
I was going to ask, so going back to that, the Gemara that was going against...
What about...
Sorry, Rabbi. So going back to the Gemara that was speaking about singing contemporary
right.
tunes with the words of Shir HaShirim.
Right.
How does that work with most Jewish a cappella groups today?
Ask me again when we finish the tshuva, okay? Then I'll give you a little insight as the way we have to approach it. But... what's more important here is to know that the problem is real. You know, you can't dismiss the Haredi world. my attitude. I'm not charedi, but if they're doing something, I have to understand what the problem is, what they find fault with, and then I have to be able to understand what I'm doing and why I'm within the line of fair, correct or fair halachic process. But very fascinating. This Gemara is overwhelming. And I remember clearly, and in Israel today, you have, I don't have to tell you how many, and it's, by the way, it's very interesting, among the famous artists, the singers, both the men and the women, the percentage of Balei Tshuva is much, much higher than the general population. Much higher. And my daughter, who's a, well, I have one daughter who's a, an art therapist, you know, she's involved in psychology, and, you know, psychologists see the world a little bit different than we simple humans see it. And my daughter tells me, why do you have so many Balei Tshuva among the artists, the singers, the musicians, the artists? And she claims very simply that people who are involved in singing, in art, in performing, they have a soul that's a little bit deeper than our soul. Meaning, most people go to work, you go to work, you deal with the computer, you're a genius, you come up with a new program, you sell it. I have to tell you who Bakat is, who Bennett is. There's a kid, the son of a student of mine, just sold his program on in Silicon Valley for millions and millions of dollars. As a kid, he's not even 24 yet, I believe. You know, so, but these, they're from. But your mind is not on spiritual matters. Your mind is the world getting ahead. You take a medical doctor, you take a research. I told you I have a grandson. I said to him today, the only way you repay the Technion, you got to get win a Nobel Prize. Whenever I speak with him, I encourage him. I mean, he's not going to be a Rebbe, but at least find the cure for cancer. But they're involved. They're involved. An artist is involved spiritually. He's singing. He wants to give you a message. His soul is speaking. His calling in life, it's like Lahavdil, it's like a Rebbe teaching Torah, except he's doing it through music, through audience.
Yeah, I very much agree. That's
very good. Message to give. You know who understood this very well? The Lubavitcher Rebbe. And I can tell you at the Fabrenians, there were thousands of people. Everyone used to look at Jacques Lipschitz, the famous sculptor. And he was sitting there, you can see a Reingesab taking in, taking in, taking in. To how many artists the Rebbe brought to the Tshuva Shlema. So there's something to it. But nevertheless, take a look at this Gemara, how powerful. And this is why Rebbe Nachman Klein says, we don't allow it at any time. Not separate seating, and not even, and certainly not when it's mixed seating. Then he goes a little bit further, and he quotes the Sefer Hasidim. Now, the Sefer Hasidim is a course unto itself, and some of you in graduate school, it lends itself to a fabulous dissertation on the Sefer Hasidim, you know, and there's machlokes, we'll come to it, between Reb Moshe, between the Mishnah Halachot, and the Sefer Hasidim engendered an entire new world. And this takes us back to Hasidei Ashkenaz. And just very briefly, I want to say a few words. You see, the Jews in Franco-Germany went through a lot of hell. It was not like the Jews in Spain, who until the expulsion enjoyed a high culture and they were part of the general population. And by the way, they were assimilated too. They had many of the problems that we later have in Germany and later have in America. Ad kedei kach, you have interpretations like just came out of Chovevei Torah, allegories. There were people not putting on tefillin because it's an allegory. It doesn't mean you have to actually put tefillin on. So, and you have the Akedat Yitzchak and his description of Spanish Jewry, but they were integrated. They were like, if you can make a comparison to the better ones were like good YU graduates, okay? Totally integrated on the contemporary scene. Franco-Germany had persecutions, had crusades, had murder. I don't have to tell you what went on. The whole question whether you shoot the children, kill the children, haraf ha-shoichet, haraf ha-moneya. I lectured on this extensively many years ago when I dealt with the Holocaust. And this was in Germany. They're going to come and take away the kids and raise them as Catholics. Should you kill them or let it be whatever God wants and you can't intervene? It's a question that may have a lack of implication until today. Matsada is another example. So as a result, perhaps, of this persecution and difficulty, they became very pious. And the Sefer Hasidim has a tremendous influence on German and France, and ultimately on the Shulchan Aruch, on the Ramah. The Ramah obviously writes in accordance with many of the last of the Rishonim in Germany, the Trumat HaDeshen, the Maharil, etc., etc. And this explains to you why, basically, the Ashkenazic world on endless issues, that world is more machmir than the Sephardic world. You follow what I'm saying? The Sephardic world, you all know, those of you that are Sephardim, Eidot HaMizrach, it's a very easy world. The only real chumrah that you have is glatt kosher, that you have to eat glatt, you have to eat chalak. That is basically the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch. That's the biggest chumrah. The Rav used to say with a sense of humor that that chumrah is equal to other kulat, because chalak meat was part of the kambai, was more expensive. But outside of that, you take Shabbos, you take kashrut. In the Sephardic world, you can have one set of glass dishes and get away with it. Are you aware of that? I mean, if you stick to the letter of the law, it's unbelievable. One set of glass, they paskin glass doesn't absorb, there's never a problem with the ben yomo. We clean off the glass, you're finished, you go further. It have many, many kulot. But the Ashkenazic world goes back to the Ramah. The Ramah already is influenced by the Sifrei Achronei HaRishonim, and the Sefer Hasidim plays a very, very big role. And Rav Menashe Klein, time and again, quotes from the Sefer Hasidim. I'm not going to go into it now. There's one part in the Sefer Hasidim where Rav Moshe claims it's a forgery, it can't be. And Rav Menashe Klein hits him very, very hard. We'll get to it down the road. And here he quotes from Sefer Hasidim, Siman Kuf Mem Zayin. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and the Sefer Hasidim shouts at these Jews that sing these songs and then get involved in sexual overtones. Now you find this in the Mishorim, in some of the poetry that comes out of Spanish Jewry, right or wrong, where they turn around and take Shir HaShirim and they speak of love and men and women. And he says, Chas v'chalila, atida Torah shetitzak aleichem. The Torah will scream and shout upon these people. How can they do it? And absolutely 100% opposed to any singing in public and any concert. And he goes even further than the Gemara in Sanhedrin, quoting Psukim, totally, totally opposed. So, you can understand Rav Menashe Klein. And then he speaks about the people playing the musical instruments. And here too, you come to the old problem. How can you play musical instruments after Churban HaBayit? This is the whole sugya in Baba Batra. It starts, it's elsewhere in Shas. Musical instruments, Churban HaBayit. We're in mourning. And those of you who have been to weddings in the old city know, at the most, what do they allow? A drum, I know they allow. Do they allow anything more than a drum? Rafi, at your wedding, what did you have? You had a regular orchestra, or what type of music? You were in the old city.
There were a bunch of instruments. We had drums. So you were
in Cheshish. Okay, now I understand. So you were in Cheshish. I remember then afterwards. You've been once with it. No, this is the they try to learn pshat that the old city is the original Yerushalayim. Maybe it doesn't apply to the rest. There's a whole world out there struggling with this problem. Can you have musical instruments at weddings? If at weddings it's a problem, al achat kama v'kama, when you're going to have a concert, Hashem Yerachem. But now we've arrived. Time is beating down, but I'm going to give you a special source, a gift for coming today. Baruch Hashem. By the way, Rafi, at your wedding, I remember, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. And boy, you got to be a good sniffing hound dog to come up to justify how you brought the king back to life. Even though the king probably was Jewish, halachically. His mother's mother was Jewish, halachically. And the king boasted he was a Shabbos guy. It turns out he wasn't allowed to be a Shabbos guy. They found on her tombstone a Magen David. And they checked the Yichus, and you can get it off the computer. I didn't know. I knew he had Jewish roots. I didn't realize. And they rented. They lived in a two-story building, and the person who owned the building was the rabbi of the local Orthodox shul. So and they were very happy. They were very good neighbors. So the king remains the king, and some people still believe he's still alive. What can I tell you? I remember when he died, it was like the Gadol Hador, what went on. I remember BMT. Oh my gosh, the king. My dear students, so this is Reb Menashe Klein. And then he gets involved with the halacha. Have the Shulchan Aruch in front of me. Siman Taf Kuf Samach. We're talking now Sif Gimel. And the Shulchan Aruch says, Ve'afilu shir b'peh al hayayin asura. Shenema bishilo yishtu yayin v'kva nahagu kol Yisrael lomad divrei tishpachot on shir shel hoda'a v'zikaron chastei HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yayin. And he says, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that we're not allowed to sing, we're not allowed to act joyful and get drunk. Perhaps the only time we can sing with wine is to give Shevach V'Hodaya to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramah adds, V'kein L'tzarech Mitzvah K'gom B'Vayt Chatan V'Kala HaKol Shari. And he adds, the Ramah, that with all the limitations, Seichel L'Churban, and what we're talking about here is Seichel L'Churban, this is the Samanim that deal with Tisha B'Av in the 3 weeks, with all the limitations, but for Chatan V'Kala, everything is permitted. You look into the Taz, and the Taz says, yes, everything is permitted, but yet, there are restrictions, even with a chatan v'kala. Now, how many of you have been at a Haredi wedding? How many of you have been at a Rebbe wedding? There are people in the Haredi world who make a living 100 times what a guy named Rakefit makes giving shiurim and griskolel. They go to weddings and they do gramen, they do late summer. You've seen it or not. These are people who are big talmidei chachamim. You have to be a genius. Gramen, it's called, late summer, like Purim time. They sing about the chatan, the kala, the families. At times they give a little kvetch. At times they say the parents didn't give enough money to the chatan v'kala, you understand? And they have the audience hysterical, and they mix in psukim, and they mix in divrei chazal. And this is the nohag in most of the Hasidic world. Mamish gramen. I haven't seen it at Litvisha weddings, but people make a living, they're famous, they've been written up. Amishpacha has had articles on some of these people, and that Taz calls them leitzim, and that they have no place at a wedding, even though we permit all the singing and dancing and jumping up and down, but there's a limit. We don't want leitzim. Fine. Look into the Mishnah Berurah on this very halacha. And the Mishnah Berurah discusses the whole problem of wine and singing, and it's not right, and we Jews shouldn't do it. And then he quotes the Gemara. You'll see all the sources. Quotes the Gemara that the Gemara speaks in terms of people pulling boats. This is before we had engines. Or people pulling animals, helping the cattle along, the oxen, habakarim. And they have a right to sing. Why do they have a right to sing? Because it helps them work, it gives them strength, it helps the animals walk, they follow the tune. But people who are weavers shouldn't sing, because that plays no role at all. Al-Kain Nashim, I'm quoting from the Mishnah Berurah, Hamizamrot Bepeh B'Yet Malachtam Yesh Limchot Lachem. Women who are singing when they work, you have to tell them to stop singing. This has no place in Judaism. This is Kalisha. What are you doing? What are you singing? Even if men aren't around, it's still not proper. And in a Beit Haroshet, if you have men there as well, alachet v'kama, you have to stop singing. And that is the Mishnah Berurah. This is all this negative attitude towards songs, the Churban HaBayit, acting like Gentiles, getting drunk, misusing liquor. And I want to end off with one source and show you the contemporary world and how truth does not win out for certain publishers. This is a beautiful book. They called him Mike. If you don't know who Mike Trest was, make believe you do, so the ignorant pass for the wise. Rabbi Elimelech Trest, or Mike Trest, was a Brooklyn boy, first cousin to a name I mentioned an hour ago, Rabbi Moshe Scherer. Okay? Their mothers were sisters. And Mike Trest and Moshe Scherer grew up to be good Jews when most of their families threw Yiddishkeit away, like hundreds of thousands or millions of Jews in the Western world. The Holocaust of assimilation reaches proportions that are indescribable. I need not tell you what intermarriage is today, and it all began in the 20s, the 30s, as we Americanize. Now, Mike Trest became very famous. He died young. He did more than any single little individual to help save Jews from the Holocaust. He did more than anyone to help them adjust to America. And this is a volume by Yonatan Rosenblum, who lives in Hanov. He's a Baal Tshuva. He writes, he has a degree, I believe, from Yale in history. What does he have the degree?
A law degree
as well. And I just want to read to you. Reading from page 33. It's a name that we've mentioned years ago in class when we spoke about how Yeshiva University came to be. There were three great rabbis in New York, Rabbis Lukstein, Young, and Goldstein. There were three great balabatim. Each one gave what today is YU a fortune of money in the 20s to make the campus possible. Fischel Gottesman, whose grandson sat in class a few weeks ago, and Lamport. Now, Lamport, Nathan Lamport, Siddish Jew from Europe, went on to establish a large textile firm taken over by one of his sons, and he made it a lot bigger, and the firm is known by his name, S.C. Lamport, Samuel C. Lamport. Lamport was one of the few large Shomer Shabbos companies, and Mike Tress used his position. He worked there. He was one of the supervisors. He used his position to hire Shomer Shabbos girls in his division. There's a long footnote here of all the women who worked, who become very famous later in life, their husbands and what they did in life. Many of them become Rebbetzins. Many of them I knew. I knew the families. The work may not have been terribly interesting, but in the middle of the Depression, one was happy to have a job of any kind. When there were no men around, the girls spent their time singing happily and talking together without any pressure or stress and without a sharp word ever being spoken. Beautiful description. Absolute, total, complete lie. When there were no men around, gentlemen, can anyone tell me if there was anyone in the United States of America, in Brooklyn, before World War II, who knew anything about women not singing when they were working? I will give them a prize. It is impossible. There were dances at Young Israel, dances at the West Side Institutional Synagogue. As I mentioned an hour ago, a great Talmud Chacham, I yet knew his parents. His parents met at a dance at the Young Israel of the Bronx. I asked the author, how do you put in such Narish kind? No, it's not true. He said, this is Atzko. This is what they want the children to read. To me, this is disgraceful, because just the opposite. In a climate like that, where the women shown Rosh Shabbat, give credit what they had to overcome, no men around, but Mimanav Shach. If they're singing, how are they allowed to sing? What are you doing with the Mishnah Berurah? I just read the Mishnah Berurah to you. Forget about men being around. If you're going to worry about Churban Habayit, and you're going to take that halacha, and you don't have an explanation, what are you doing singing? Who heard of such a thing? Mimanav Shach. Anyway, excuse me.
You think
it wasn't
the supervisors, a lot of them just said like it was a party to see?
No, well,
I guess while they were back.
I want to be malamed. Okay, so one second, let us reiterate. No, you don't have to be sorry, you're absolutely right. But I want you to know, I asked the author, and I was not the only one. I heard from some other very big Talmud Chacham. He too was offended, we all get the same answer. But you should know, the volume is a good volume. It's worth reading. The one that he did on Rabbi Scherer does not equal the one that he did in Mike Tress. The one in Rabbi Scherer already is slanted. It's certain details were left out. I know the.
He's not doing those because he would get pressure from different.
No, beside that.
There's one he pulled out, of course.
One he pulled out. The one in Yaakov Kamenetsky is good, but there he was helped by Nussin, and we know the rest of the story. So, what did we do today? We not completely finished with the tshuva. but we set the stage to go further, the singing, the concert, the men, the women, the mentality, the poor yeshiva boy who says they're separate seating, and nevertheless the concert is canceled. It's a fascinating question. How do we justify our existence? So I'll tell you, there's a klal here, tov shu shogig in value may sit. We're dealing here with subjective issues, rabbinic issues. It's not in our world today, halavai, we should have concerts where they should sing Shirei Kodesh. Well, I can tell you, there were plenty of kibbutz srugot who went to hear Jerry Seinfeld the other night. And the four performances, everyone raving about him, and I only had one request. Anyone there, tell Jerry Seinfeld, Aaron Rakefet wants you to come to his classes just like your first cousin studied with him. He'd like you to study with him as well. And boy, if I could get him here for a number of shiurim, I have a Talmud Avi Fried who once, with the woman in A World Apart, got me her phone number, he had me call her. I don't want to make a fool out of myself two times. I always say, we make mistakes once, we don't repeat them. First of all, remember, tomorrow at 9:05 a.m., I witness tomorrow's shiur for all the Hasidim who were at the various Yutet Kislev celebrations throughout the world. Very interesting material tomorrow, 9:05, on the Rebbe. You're in a Chabad class here. We have two people influenced by Chabad, and the Rebbe is a Litvak trying to understand Chabad. And we have another person in the room who also is influenced by Chabad. There's a big picture of the Rebbe in their home. We have two people, actually, but at least one was certainly influenced. Tomorrow night, Be'ezrat Hashem, I fly to Florida. I'm giving, God should give strength, 10 different shiurim of various types. It's what they want. Some is big lumdis learning, some is hashkafa, some is narishkeit, some is dancing on a tightrope, but that's tomorrow. I'll be gone 2 weeks. I'm giving this out. This tells you when my next classes are. Rafi, please give this out and give me the extra ones so that there's no mistake. Tomorrow there's class, and 3 weeks from today there is class. Michael, I have a book for you. It has to go back to your wife. This is for you and Yitzchak. It's about American Jewish history.
He deserted me.
He deserted you, I see. Where is he today?
I don't know.
I hope everything is okay. This is for Yitzchak. This is Rav Asher Weiss's... we're going to dab Marv in 2 minutes. Just give me 2 more minutes. If anyone is interested, this is very, very moving. It's about L'chaim on a Moscow train platform. It's about what went on in the 1980s in Russia. And I recognize some of the people in the picture. It's a very moving story of how they celebrated Yutet Kislev. And read it. It's one of a kind. I have 2 copies of it. I also, if anyone is going to teach in Israel, this is Midei Chodesh B'Chodesho, edited by my student, Aryeh Weinberger. Aryeh Weinberger, correct, who's lived here already many, many years. And it gives you all the chagim for the months and how to teach children, what to do with them, Tevet and Shvat. And I want to mention a very big event is coming up. This, let me just give it to you right. A week from this Friday, there's a symposium here on the future of...
It's not here.
In Jerusalem. It's in Heichal, it's in the... Where is it? In the Great Synagogue, right? Heichal Shlomo. It's in Heichal Shlomo. Modern Orthodox education in 21st century Israel and America. You have here the president of YU, Esti Rosenberg, who's Rabarin's daughter. I know her very well. Rabbi Dr. Meir Soloveitchik, who occupies centerfold and may very well be a very important person in the future of YU. Rabbi Asaf Badnash of this very kollel, and the dean of both divisions of Yeshiva College and Stern, Karen Bacon. Yomo, see that it's recorded so that yours truly can hear it when he gets back from the Gola. If there are no questions, we'll daven Maariv in 1 minute flat. I want to wish everyone Besorah Tova, Yeshuot V'Nechamot, Olengav Al Kol Yisrael, Das V'Danya. Sidurim are over here. Everyone needs to sit up.